It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Erica Woods is ready to play hard as Marshall University's women's basketball season begins.
You know, we just have girls that are ready to get after it day in and day out. Everybody seems to be buying into Coach Daniel's concept. And like I said, in practice, everything's full speed. If we don't go full speed, we run. And nobody wants to run, so.
Clark Davis talks with second season coach Matt Daniel. The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. Senator Joe Manchin is proposing a delay in a key component to the Federal Affordable Care Act, the individual mandate. Manchin defends his legislation, saying it allows the administration more time to fix glitches in the enrollment system. But as Ashton Morrow reports, a policy group in Charleston says a delay will have significant negative impacts on West Virginians.
The individual mandate requires all Americans sign up for health insurance through the Federal Healthcare Exchange by April 1st or face a penalty of $95 or 1% of their annual income, whichever is greater. The penalty will be collected by the IRS and increases to more than $300 after the first year. Manchin, however, says it's too soon to punish Americans who are unable to sign up for healthcare because of problems with the federal enrollment website. He's proposing that date be pushed back from April to January 1st of 2015.
This should be a transition year. We're seeing all the problems that they're having rolling this thing out. It's going to have some problems. You're going to have to work through that. And people shouldn't be facing a fine because they can't log in.
But Brandon Merritt, health policy analyst for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, says the individual mandate is key, and without it, the Affordable Care Act will fall apart.
The idea of the Affordable Care Act is to provide insurance to those who don't have insurance and to help control the costs of insurance that has been creeping up for decades now. And so the individual mandate is kind of what holds us together.
Without that mandate, Merritt says healthy individuals won't purchase plans, preventing more individuals from buying coverage and leaving insurance companies with a pool of sickly customers.
Essentially, what happens is that those who don't seek as much treatment in any given year are helping cover the cost of those who do seek more treatment. And so underneath the Affordable Care Act, if we don't see the individual mandate, or if the individual mandate's delayed, likely what would happen is that only those who are sicker and are going to require more care throughout the year are going to be the ones that purchase health insurance. And what that does is skews the risk pool. So the health insurer essentially gets set up with a sicker population that requires more treatment is going to cost them more money.
And the more providers have to pay to cover their customers, the higher premium rates will climb, thus preventing even more individuals from being able to access health care. Manchin says that notion in Washington is being pushed by the insurance companies.
I think everybody wants the insurance. If it's affordable, it's part of who we are as Americans. But on the other hand, you have to have a marketable product. So that's where the insurance industry has to be able to work with the administration. And it has to be market forces that are driving it.
Republicans have proposed similar delays in the hopes of preventing the ACA from taking root at all. Manchin says his intention is not to get rid of the ACA in its entirety, but to put more pressure on the Obama administration and the industry to offer an affordable, quality product to consumers and to prevent Americans from being penalized before it is available.
You know, I got a lot of my colleagues keep saying delay, delay, delay. They want to delay it. Never started. Well, this is such a mammoth undertaking that you have to start down the road of trying to work within the marketplace and the real world, if you will, figure out where the problems are and if they can be fixed or not.
Merritt doesn't believe Manchin is trying to sabotage the bill's implementation, but still, his analysis is blunt, saying straight out the senator's plan won't work. Merritt says now is not the time to tread lightly on a subject that affects thousands of West Virginians.
While I understand Senator Manchin's approach to say, okay, let's try to find a common ground, I don't think that this is the compromise that we really want to see, because this is really going to have negative impacts, not just politically, but here in West Virginia, with those who are unable to get insurance, and those who do get insurance on the private market, we'll see increased premiums. So it's really going to hit us here at home if we delay this aspect of the Affordable Care Act. So I think it's very important that we put it bluntly to say that this is a bad idea.
When asked if the bill would receive a signature if it made it to the president's desk, Manchin said he was unsure, but he hopes the bipartisan support will force the president to consider it. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Potomac Edison and Monpower Electric customers are getting their chance to let the West Virginia Public Service Commission know what they think of the company's billing practices. As Cecilia Mason reports, the PSC is on the road collecting comments from customers who are upset that they received monthly bills last winter and fall that were, in some cases, many times higher than normal.
Potomac Edison and Mon Power are supposed to read meters every other month and can send estimated bills in months when actual readings aren't taken. Before the PSC heard comments, Potomac Edison representatives gave a PowerPoint explanation for the problem, saying two big storms last year, the derecho and the October snowstorm, affected the ability to actually read the meters. Delegate Stephen Skinner was among those who didn't buy that explanation.
What I heard this morning about the reasons for why we're in the situation that we're in were excuse, 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 excuse. And then I heard that there were some issues in need of enhancement. I have yet to hear the real personal responsibility from First Energy and Potomac Edison for the problems in the Eastern Panhandle.
Several customers who received extraordinarily high bills testified. One was Kevin Bohr, who is retired from a power company where he worked at a generation plant. Bohr says the inconsistent billing has been hard on him.
So this is the way I've been paying my electric bill now for the last two, three years. I have to send them an extra $100 or $200 extra every month, because I don't want to get hit with no $500, $600 electric bill like I did one time. I can't afford that. I'm on disability now.
Some customers described getting multiple bills in a single month, and others expressed concern that the power company doesn't have good enough documentation to accurately estimate a meter reading. Sharon Wilson offered a solution.
I think the only way to get a bottom line accurate estimate for everybody is to mandate that for a 12-month consecutive period that the meters get read every month.
Potomac Edison spokesman Todd Myers says the company wants customers to call when they have a problem so the company can work with them. Several representatives were on hand to meet with customers during and after the hearing. Myers says one problem was before First Energy bought Allegheny Power, the employees who read the meters had other duties like collections, hookups, and disconnections.
Now meter readers do nothing but read meters. The other responsibilities have been split off into meter technicians and different kinds of people. So sometimes people say there's not as many meter readers. Well, there may be a little bit less meter readers, but they are meter readers who are 100% dedicated to reading meters all day long.
The PSC also took comments last night from Monpower customers in Fairmont. A second Fairmont hearing is scheduled this morning at 9:30 at Westchester Village. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:38. Mostly sunny skies today with temperatures in the 40s, mostly clear and cold overnight with lows in the 20s. Sunshine Saturday morning, increasing cloudiness during the afternoon, temperatures in the upper 40s and 50s, partly cloudy on Sunday with temperatures in the mid-40s to the mid-50s.
Support provided by Wells Home Furnishings in Charleston, with furniture and accents to fit every budget and style. Details online at wellshome.com.
Marshall women's basketball head coach Matt Daniel is set to tip off his second season in Huntington. Clark Davis has more about a program the coaches hope is vastly improved.
How does the Marshall women's basketball program rebound from a rough first year under new head coach Matt Daniel in 2012-2013? They bring in 10 new girls to fill the roster. A year after finishing 9-20 overall and 3-13 in Conference USA play, the Marshall women hope to fit more into Coach Daniel's up-tempo style of play.
Well, with 10 new faces, you never know how that's going to equate to wins or losses, but they've really gelled together really quickly. I really like the personality of our team, and we're not a group that takes themselves too seriously. We're just out here to work hard, trying to have a good time, and see what happens at the end of 40 minutes.
Despite adding 10 new girls to the team, five girls with starting experience do return to help steady the transition. Among Daniel's goals as the coach of the herd is to bring in local talent. This year, Daniel has added freshman Kiana Evans from Huntington, Mackenzie Akers from Princeton, and Taliqua Hamilton, a University of Cincinnati transfer that originally hails from Huntington. Daniel thinks local talent could be the key.
You know, when you're recruiting kids and you're trying to, you know, establish who you want to be, and I was just talking to President Kopp, and I want to do it with these kids that are local, and I think that's important that we educate the kids within our tri-state area, and hopefully at the end of the day try and win a few ball games as well.
Marshall opens the season November 8th at home against Bluefield College. The Herd plays 9 of its first 11 games at home and has 18 home days overall. Daniel thinks his group of girls will take to his philosophy of being aggressive and quick.
Well, they're very coachable, and that's all you can ask. And it's going to be interesting to see. It could get real fun real fast, or it could still be a grind. And, you know, you hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. So we're just going to go out, and we'll kind of see what's what then and see where we go. But I'm really pleased with the effort that our girls are giving.
Among those returnees is fifth-year senior forward Erica Woods. She says this group is different than last year's team.
I have never in all my life seen a group of young ladies come together and gel at once, like so quickly. Obviously, we still have ways to go. There's always room for improvement and things like that. But definitely the willing to want to get it right, not be right, but just get things right. We're all about us and not just one person.
Not only is the team changing, but the conference the women play in is changing quickly. With 8 new schools, some of which have had previous national success, play could be tougher than it's ever been. Woods says with the addition of all the new girls, they can play the style that Coach Daniel wants.
You know, we just have girls that are ready to get after it day in and day out. Everybody seems to be buying into Coach Daniel's concept. And like I said, in practice, everything's full speed. If we don't go full speed, we run. And nobody wants to run. So we just try to do as he says and get in and get up.
Among the newcomers is transfer Taliqua Hamilton, who says her transfer back home from Cincinnati was about playing in front of the people she cares about.
I miss home. I really did. The 2 years I was there, I wasn't really sure that my heart was in it, but I know back home I'm playing in front of my friends and my family, so I'm going to like put my all into it.
Daniel hopes that home mentality for the local girls can be one of the keys to resurgence. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
The Pines perform Rise Up and Be Lonely in this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Whose birthdays are, I think I know. They stole them when they found the gold. And now a broken little treaty, it holds the proof. Now it's no blind madness out on the plains, I clamor for a pure restraint. Cause you don't need many words, speak the truth. Rise and be lonely. Burn those kisses fade from the lack of light and our hearts and minds. Cold hymns explode and voodoo scenes erupt in time. I make my way in leaves and roots. I'm trembling in my traveling boots. Oh, I don't believe, but I believe. I dust my broom. Straps on my shoulder, chains on my feet. All the money in the world is just a lame retreat from your shelter. Behind our eyes, look how the sun hangs like a thief over branches. I'll leave to leave, and I'm out walking under corporate criminal sky.
The Pines with Rise Up and Be Lonely. You can hear this song again and more music on Mountain Stage Sunday afternoon at 2 right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director this morning is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.